The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
What's coming up on today's experience? Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show, which have nothing to do with life, but they're fun, they're funny. Awesome Jennifer does a great job with them. You got to get ready. You never know what's coming your way. Just be prepared. I would say buckle up. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. The way it's going, end of the week. That'd be good. Life lessons for our faith that we could actually use. We probably won't, but we could if we decide to be doers and not just hearers of the word. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon. I will be your host for the next 1,800 seconds, and then 1,800 seconds after that, and then 1,800 seconds after that. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. Man, do I have things to share and talk to you about. It's amazing how we can go up and down and up and down in the kingdom of God, isn't it? It's amazing that one minute it's like, yes, it's all there, it's all together. And then the moment later we're like, no, where did it all go? It got swallowed up. We'll talk about that. Here's the bottom line. If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question. That's an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question. Perhaps you have something you want to share that the Lord is working on in your life. Perhaps you have a testimony. You may have a prayer request, even an answer to Bible trivia, which we'll get to a little later on. All you got to do is reach for the phone, whether it's a digital phone, whether it's your camera phone, whether it's your landline phone, whatever it is, and you just call 972-445-0770. I probably wouldn't do a payphone, but 972-445-0770. And that's when you reach amazing Jennifer. And when you talk to her, it's amazing. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
I'm all right.
Okay.
Do they even make payphones anymore?
I don't know. I always, you know, in Detroit, when I grew up, they had these things called purple zones. I don't know if you've ever heard of this.
No.
So in purple zones, back in the day in Detroit in the 60s, they were phones that automatically went to police stations. And they
purple.
And they were kind of like payphones, but you would just pick up the purple phone and go right to.
Because you need that in Detroit.
You would need that in Detroit.
Yes.
That's right. There's a great bumper sticker. The last one who leaves Detroit, please turn the lights off. Okay. Anyway, okay. So 972-445-0770. If you're going to call in, you can text in 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. And that's if you want to text and talk to me like through the phone. You can't answer that. That's all got to be on the silent side. Plus, you can reach out to us through email, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. That can take place live during the show as well. And we encourage you, along with that, to check out our website because that's a place to give. Plus, there's encouragement and different weird things on there, as one would expect. Please go to hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okie dokie, artichokey. Remember, okie dokie artichokey, theological, all right now, or all right then, not theological. Okay, just separating those two for you. So when somebody says okie dokie artichokey, you think theology. Okay. Bottom line, I got a lot of things going on. I got an announcement I think that I'm going to be making tomorrow. Most of you can guess what it is about, but there will be some additional elements added to this announcement, so I'm not going to say what it is right now. I did find myself praying this morning and praying for everybody in the audience and really praying that the Lord would meet everybody where they're at and that people would have an engagement, a closeness, a connection to the Lord. So I'd like to pray over the audience, people that are listening now and that will be listening in the next hour, hour and a half, so that they can understand just that much more of the Lord as they draw closer. So hang in there with me. Let's pray together real quickly as the body of Christ. Father, we come before you right now in the powerful name of Jesus and with help from the Holy Spirit. And we ask you to touch every person who's listening, every person who will be listening, that you would reach them and touch them and that they would draw closer to you. There's no better answer to any problem ever in life than to just get closer to you. And we ask you to bring that into our audience. Bring that into people's lives. Let them know you. Not know of you, but know you. And have confidence in you and trust in you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Okay, so we've got a couple things we want to roll into. One of the things we're going to roll into is a teaching that's out of the Psalms. On Wednesday, we do Psalms, and then I do kind of like an old sermon-y kind of thing in the second 60 minutes or in the next 60 minutes. I will tell you ahead of time, the topic is not my favorite topic, and I didn't want to teach it. You'll understand when we get there. But right now we're in Psalms chapter 5. In Psalms chapter 5, we talked about last week about David talking about being, he said, but as for me, I will come into the house, into your house in the multitude of your mercy. In fear of you, I will worship. And that's in fear and reverence and awe toward your holy temple. You know, make your way straight before my face. That's what David said. In verse 9, he says this, for there is no faithfulness in the mouth of the wicked. Their inward part is destruction. Their throat is an open tomb. They flatter with their tongue. This is a quote that takes place from Romans chapter 3, verse 13. In other words, David wrote this in the Psalms. Paul quotes this to show that everybody, whether Jewish or whether Gentile, especially back then in the culture, you were either Jewish or you were Gentile. Jewish are people that are Jewish. Gentile is everybody who's not Jewish. It's kind of how that worked. It was pretty straightforward and simple. And what David says is, look, everything that they do, watch this, inwardly and outwardly is a lie. It's just not truth. There's no faithfulness in their mouth. That's the mouth. Their inward part is destruction. That's their inner being, all that's inside of them. Their throat is an open tomb, and they flatter with your tongue. So everything on the inside and everything on the outside is just a lie. It's just not true. They're guilty before the Lord. And these are all people that have turned their face or turned their heart away from the Lord. David says, pronounce them guilty, O God, and let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out of the multitude of their transgressions, for they've rebelled against you. Now, David doesn't know the depth of mercy that's coming, although he does know the mercy of God, but he doesn't know the full depth that Jesus, even on the cross, says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing, which is an amazing teaching all by itself. But the idea that David is, you know, hey, get these wicked people away from me. There's not a single Christian that I've ever met that hasn't come to a point in their walk in their life where they just said, oh, I just was all unrighteousness would disappear. And that's what he's saying. But then he goes on because he knows he can't dwell in that. That's for God to determine and God to do, not him. And then he says this, but let all those rejoice who put their trust in you, let them ever shout for joy. Here you go. Because you defend them. Oh, I love this. In 1 John, it mentions that Jesus is our advocate. here in the Psalms, it mentions that God is our advocate. Actually, our advocate is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, just in case you were wondering. Since the Holy Spirit intercedes for us on our behalf, that's an advocate. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are their advocates for us. You know, the best definition for an advocate, I think, is a defense attorney. A defense attorney defends a person. They don't always, typically an advocate is appointed by a court. They don't usually do it for money. They're required to do it. That's what they do. In our case, our defense attorney is God. Now, I was born and raised Jewish. I have multiple family members that are lawyers. Not some, multiple. My cousin Elliot is in charge of the law division at Michigan State University. I mean, multiple. My dad had passed two bar exams, multiple. I know many good present and former Jewish lawyers. I would rather have God as my lawyer than any of those people that I know. And I know quite a few, but I would rather have God as my defense, as my attorney who stands and defends me. I would rather have Jesus Christ stand up on my behalf. I'd rather have the Holy Spirit intercede for me than any other entity in existence, including myself. Because that defense from God stands. It says, let everyone shout for joy because you defend them. Hallelujah! That's the shout for joy. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience on KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
So I want other people's insight because I'm not the only person that knows. It could be, hey, we want to, you know, talk more about current events, or hey, we want to talk more about good places to eat in Texas, or hey, we want to talk about, you know, who's got the best pizza, or we could stop talking about food because I'm really hungry and I'm waiting to do a barbecue at my son's house tonight. So, you know, it's that kind of stuff that's going on. All right, so let's get the next trivia question in, and then we'll go from there. The next trivia question is a little easier question, I think, than the previous questions. How many days was Saul, before he became Paul, how many days was Saul blind in Damascus? How many days was he blind in Damascus? Ooh. So he was, remember, he was on his donkey, and then the Lord went, bam! And then he was no longer on his donkey, but on his rear side. And then he went over to Damascus. How many days was he there? And how many days was he there blind? Is kind of the question that we're asking. Okay? All right. And then the last time I'm going to say this again, Paige, I'm really sorry. I said I want to give this word of the day sent out in honor of Pam. And I said Pam instead of Paige. Paige, I'm sorry. So, you imagine my wife. How many times I got to say sorry? All right. Anyway, what do we got? This is David. Who am I talking to?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear David. Happy birthday to you. This is Joy.
And this is Cordy.
You guys are you're great. I love you guys.
And we know the answer.
What's the answer to the trivia question?
Three.
That is correct. Yes. That is correct. Man, did you guys do it? You hit it out of the park. That's going to have to get captured and replayed on a regular basis. Excellent job, ladies.
You.
Oh, you're so great.
We love you and celebrate you and keep teaching.
You got it.
Okay.
Yes. God bless.
Thanks.
Good job. Good job, Cordy. Good job, Cordy. Good job, Joy. Excellent work.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, getting ready for our trivia question. We did have somebody call in during the break. Call back in if you have a question or a comment. You know, we just fly by the seat of our pants, don't we? I mean, just like literally, best we can. So the best idea is always to call during the show, during what we're actually, you know what I'm saying? There. Okay. True or false? Immediately after Jesus was baptized, he chose his 12 disciples. True or false? Okay, for those that are sitting there thinking, I've got to think about that. The answer is going to be found for you, if you think about it, in Matthew chapter 4. So, true or false? Immediately after Jesus was baptized, he chose his disciples. We have somebody ready to answer the trivia question? Okay, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David, it's Samson.
Hey, Samson, how are you?
I'm doing very well, and you?
I'm doing well. I was praying for you today that the Lord would bring a car into your life.
Oh, okay.
Because I want you to have a car. I know you need a car, right?
Yes, sir, I do. That I say, okay, I'm going to give the answer for the trivia, and I'm going to ask you to keep praying with me.
You got it. All right, ready for this? So the trivia question, right after Jesus was baptized, then he went and picked his 12 disciples. True or false?
It's a F-L-E-S.
It is.
It's a false.
That is correct, Amundo! You are right. It is false. That's when he went out into the wilderness, right after he was baptized, right after he did public ministry. There was the warfare started right then. The trial and the testing started right then.
Very good. Yes.
Okay, my brother. Go ahead. I can barely hear you, though. There's a lot of echo.
Yes. Sorry.
That's okay.
I just want to encourage all my brother and sister, those who are listening, like, if you know, faith is a very active verb, so we need to activate our faith. I'm in a situation, through faith I could get my car. I mean, I don't have the means to get the cars, so, but I'm clinging to my faith, and I'm activating my faith with my brother and sister, and just want to encourage that Lord always comes through.
Absolutely.
He's faithful.
He is faithful. Let me pray over you again another time so that I just want your faith to be strong. Father, we come before you and you tell us, you teach us, walk by faith and not by sight. It's not by what Samson can see, it's by what he can believe. And we believe you for great things and for transportation for his life, and that you would work that out for him and his family in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, my brother. Keep us posted, and we'll
Thank
keep praying.
You. And God bless.
God bless you too, my friend.
Oh, okay. Bye-bye.
All right. So you got to keep praying for Samson. Just keep praying. Lord, get that guy a car. Now, I would not pray, Lord, get that guy a car. Let it be a Ferrari. Just pray, Lord, get the guy a car. Right? Okay. I'm just, you know, if you want to believe for a Ferrari, I guess that's fine. Okay. Let's start there. And in lieu of all that, let's go into this next verse that David is talking about, King David, which, you know, I love the Psalms because they're just so rich with the feeling of our faith and the process and the commitment to truth, the commitment to standing firm, but it also doesn't take away the humanity of the process. Here's what David says in Psalm chapter 5, verse 12. Let those who also love your name be joyful in you, for you, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield. With favor, you will surround him as with a shield. There's a couple of really cool things right here, but let's just look. Those who love your name, be joyful in you. You know, I know it's hard to think this way at times, but you can be joyful. You can make a decision to be joyful in the Lord. David said, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. There is some power here in the process of decision and in standing in the Lord. And David's like, hey, let those of you guys who love the name of the Lord be joyful, because there is so much to be joyful for. And then he goes on to explain it. The Lord will bless the righteous. That's one of the reasons you can be joyful. The Lord will bless you. The great thing about when God blesses somebody is it's not half-hearted or only half full. When the Lord blesses you, you're blessed. When the Lord takes care of you, you're taken care of. It's not partial, it's full. And the other part of that is when he says this. He says, for the Lord will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield. So I want you to just, you know, kind of like get the visual. Sometimes you got to get the visual to get it going. And so you just think of yourself and you're out on a field and there's like warfare going on and things are being tossed. And, you know, you've seen all those movies where they have a shield and they get down behind the shield and everybody like lifts the shield up and they kind of huddle together and there's a shield all around them, which, by the way, is why we should be doing all of these things in a together format and not in an independent format. A single shield by itself is not as strong as 20 shields together. That's obvious. But that shield around you is many things in Scripture. And in this particular case, in Psalm chapter 5, it's God's favor. It's the favor of the Lord. And the favor of God connected to the grace of God, you can't merit that favor. When God grants favor, it's granted. And you think, are you going to tell me that the Lord's going to help Samson get a car? Yes. Why? Because we're going to pray, we're going to believe, we're going to keep asking, and you think, well, that's just absurd. Okay, well, then don't live your life by faith. Walk by sight. Even though the Scripture says we walk by faith and not by sight. You can't just walk by what you see and what you process. You got to take that vision beyond that scope. It's not that you deny what's in front of you, but you look above what's in front of you and see it. I've said it before. I think it's worth saying again that if you look at a picture the way it is, the way that we evaluate stuff, we look at it and we kind of have it on our grid or in our little visionary box and we see it. As soon as we insert Jesus into the picture, the whole picture changes. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. It's not that you won't have tough times. It's not that you won't have challenges. But in every one of those processes, the Lord has made a commitment to be with you and to help you and to guide you. He never says, you know what I'm going to do is I'm just going to transport you in such a way as for you to never have any kind of stress at all or worry or anything. In fact, you just go play the violin on a rowboat in the ocean. That's not really in Scripture, is it? The perfect will of God involved the life of Jesus Christ as an example, and that example was Jesus going to the cross. And in case you're like, well, that's Jesus. He went to the cross. We don't have to go. We don't have to suffer. Then you need to reread 1 Peter chapter 2 and chapter 3, where Peter says specifically, Jesus suffered to show us an example that we should follow. So before you're going to go down those weird roads, let's just stick in the word. What's wonderful is that the favor of God can surround you like a shield to protect you. And you might be going through the challenge. I think he's going through. That's a challenge, I think. And we should have our faith committed to praying for him and get it. And when he does call and say, I got a vehicle, we're all going to be like, that's right. That's right. Jesus did it. Jesus did it. And it's like, because that's how it should be. And so David, as he closes out this psalm, it's a wonderful psalm. He talks about the unrighteous, but he talks about God's faithfulness more. And in the end, he's like, look, this is all about us being joyful in him who loves us and adores us. He's going to protect us. He's going to put a coat over us of protection. He's going to grant his favor in front of us and behind us. We will be safe in the Lord. He will guide us through. How many thousands of times has the Lord already done that for you and I? So many, right? I was thinking, as many of you know, I'm reviewing some of the material on this book, and I'm going back now 40 years looking at some of this. It's 40 years ago. And I'm like, look how faithful God was. And it's like you can just see the hand of God throughout the process. Doesn't mean it wasn't a lot of trials and tribulations. But it does mean there was a lot of God with me during those trials and tribulations. That's what's so cool. And if we can do a little better, maybe a little more mature, instead, and this is where the whole next 60 minutes is going, so I have forewarned you. If we can look at things and stop whining, would you like a little cheese with that wine? If we could stop doing that at the levels that we do that, and have a better disposition or attitude, we will find that we are actually functioning in the will of God as he declares he wants us to. So many people looking for the will of God, at least he tells us. But if you're not going to do what he tells you in the plain sense or what's obvious, what, you want him to give you a revelatory will of God when you're not doing the regular will of God? Why? He that's faithful in little will be faithful in much. Ooh, ouch. Be nice, Dave. It's Wednesday. No, I'm not going to do that. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take our break, and then we're going to come back. We've got a very intense sermon that's coming up, kind of a sermon-y thing. I really feel it's important for people to listen to. So hang in there. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, top of the hour. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Here's what it says. The sure way to avoid criticism. To avoid criticism, the article says, say nothing, do nothing, be nothing. That was said by a successful and innovative coach of the Philadelphia Flyers hockey team. Now, that's not the only reason I'm reading the article, not because it's just a hockey team coach thing, but here's what it says. Number one, say nothing and become the unwitting victim of everybody else's opinion or point of view. Two, do nothing and just watch life from the sidelines. 3, when our voices remain silent and our actions still, we are nothing.
The David Spoon Experience on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.